नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीयुतमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
हरे कृष्ण। दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द नेचर ऑफ फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटी टेक्स्ट 2। अन्वीक्षेत विशुद्ध आत्मा देहिनाम विषय आत्मनाम गुणेषु तत्व ध्यानेन सर्व आरंभ विपर्ययम्। अन्वीक्षेत विशुद्धात्मा देहिनाम विषयात्मनाम गुणेषु तत्वध्यानेन सर्वारंभ विपर्ययम्। अन्वीक्षेत विशुद्धात्मा देहिनाम विषयात्मनाम गुणेषु तत्वध्यानेन सर्वारंभ विपर्ययम्। अन्वीक्षेत विशुद्धात्मा देहिनां विषयात्मनां 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 गुणेषु तत्वध्यानेन सर्वारंभ विपर्ययम्। माताजी, अन्वीक्षेत विशुद्धात्मा देहिनां विषयात्मनां गुणेषु तत्वध्यानेन सर्वारंभ विपर्ययम्।
अन्वीक्षेत, वन शुड सी विशुद्ध प्यूरिफाइड आत्मा सोल देहिनाम ऑफ द एम्बडीड बीइंग्स विषय आत्मनाम ऑफ दोज हु आर डेडिकेटेड टू सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन गुणेशु इन द मटीरियल ऑब्जेक्ट्स ऑफ प्लेजर तत्व एज ट्रूथ ध्यानेन बाय कंसीविंग सर्व ऑफ ऑल आरंभ endeavors, viparyayam, the inevitable failure. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A purified soul should see that because the conditioned souls who are dedicated to sense gratification have falsely accepted the objects of sense pleasure as truth, all of their endeavors are doomed to failure. In this verse, the Lord describes the process of becoming desireless. All material sense objects, including those perceived by their form, taste, flavor, touch, or sound, are temporary. We now see our family and nation, but ultimately they will disappear. Even our own body by which we perceive them will disappear. Thus, the inevitable result of material enjoyment is viparyaya or great suffering. The word Vishuddhatma indicates those who have purified themselves by executing the regulative duties of devotional service. They can clearly see the hopeless frustration of material life, and thus they become akamatma or great souls free from material desire.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I may myself learn some valuable lessons and engage in your service. So, when I was reading this verse and translation and purport, so this seems to be a recurring, continuous theme in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right from the first canto at different junctures, different personalities have spoken about this same theme, about how engaging in material sense gratification is not only something which is futile, but it is actually useless, because at the end of it, you don't have anything to show for whatever efforts we have expended in this matter of material sense gratification. The entire modern civilization is running on this premise of gratify your senses more. The more you gratify your senses, the more enjoyment you get, the more you are getting out of life. This is the entire premise of the material, modern materialistic world. Give me more. Have more, enjoy more, live life king size. These are the kind of slogans. So this is the modern materialistic outlook. And time and time again, Srimad Bhagavatam talks to us about how this is entirely futile. Like today's translation, a purified soul should see that because conditioned souls who are dedicated to sense gratification have falsely accepted the objects of sense pleasure as truth, all their endeavors are doomed to failure. That means their endeavor to achieve some pleasure, they are trying to achieve pleasure by gratifying the senses, this entire endeavor is doomed to failure. So in other words, what Bhagavatam means to say is, you cannot achieve pleasure, material. It's not going to give you pleasure. You may feel some sort of pleasurable sensations for some time. But still, that is not pleasure as we, you know. It's not something, it's like as if, you know, if somebody tries to hold very fine grains of sand in their hand. When they hold it, slowly through the cracks between the fingers, all those, and when you open the fist after some time, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Everything is just slipped away from the hand. So much effort, so much endeavor, but there's nothing to show for it at the end of life, so to say. So right in the first canto, Narada Muni also talks about the same thing to Vasudeva. He says that persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should only endeavor for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the Brahmaloka down to Patala. We should not endeavor for happiness derived from sense enjoyment. He said, as far as this happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in due course of time. Just as in due course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. This is a very interesting point Narada Muni brings up. Anybody here in this audience here has ever desired that they should experience some misery? They should experience some pain? Anyone among us has some desires like this? I mean, I am talking about a normal, healthy person. There may be people who have certain, who may be circumstantially in such situations, where they may say that, "Arey, Bhagwan kyun nahi utha leta hai mujhe?" But that's just rhetorical. See, bolte hain. When that actual moment comes, then their outlook might change instantly. But frankly speaking, nobody desires any pain or any misery. But does that stop pain or misery coming upon any individual? Even though, like, you know, we have this
Everybody says, chant and be happy. So our devotee is always happy. Our devotee is always happy. What is the answer? There is different kinds of... What happens when a person changes from non-devotee to a devotee, or who starts practicing devotional principles? What is the change? What difference happens? Yes? The consciousness, there is a change in consciousness, and because of that he is better equipped to face the miseries, the pains which come towards him. Miseries and pains won't stop coming. As long as we are in this material world, because this material world has been certified by the maker himself, by Krishna himself, that this is Dukkhalayam, this is Ashashvatam, this is a temporary place, this is a place of misery. So then it is like, for example, if we have, like nowadays, end of summer, monsoon approaching, many places you see people doing waterproofing with tar, you know. So if you have the tar is there, they boil it, heat it. If you take a stick, I am not telling you to dip your finger, just take a stick and dip it in that tar. When it comes out, will it remain as clean as it was when you put it? Kala okay bahar aega na? It will become black. Similarly, any living entity, materially conditioned living entity who has entered this material world, which has been certified as Dukkhalayam, he will be colored by this Dukkha. He has to experience Dukkha. He cannot be untouched by Dukkha. He has to be. Only difference is, when a person takes to the devotional path, he is better equipped, better, he can better understand the circumstances and the situations that he is experiencing. And he has a better solution to it, rather than just the endeavor to improve his material situation. Like in the West, this is a classic conundrum. Credit cards are very common. Everybody has credit cards. So they have balance on one credit card, they pay that balance with another credit card. So everybody, nobody has just one credit card. Everybody has at least, you know, at least 4, 5, 6 credit cards. So there is some balance which is unpaid on one card, then you pay it with another card. And the whole cycle keeps revolving. So this is kind of solution that a person who is not on the devotional path, who is not on the path of Krishna consciousness, he tries, whatever solutions he tries for the, you know, this is like paying with credit card, paying the one bill by with another credit card, like that. But it is not going to work, because someday or the other, somewhere or the other, you will have to actually produce some money to pay the bill. So similarly, this nobody is desiring misery in this material world, but misery comes. So here Narad Muni is asking, why should somebody endeavor for pleasure? Rather than wasting your time endeavoring for bodily pleasure, which is temporary, rather than that, try to endeavor for that purposeful end. That purposeful end, that means to establish our Krishna consciousness, to establish ourselves totally in Krishna consciousness, which is not even obtainable by wandering from Brahmaloka to Patalloka. So this is what Narad Muni has to say in the first canto. Then when we move on ahead to the third canto, again there is a discussion between Vidura and Maitreya Muni. So in this discussion, when they start discussing, the first question that Vidura puts forward to Maitreya Muni He asks, oh great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. So therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very brilliant purport to this verse. Very brilliant, amazing purport. He says, Vidura asked Maitreya some common question. I mean, the question is, give us direction how one should live for real happiness. And how one should... Which was not originally... So Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions which are not... Which was not his originally his intention. Why? Because Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into the truths concerning the Lord. That is his name, fame, pastimes, qualities, entourage, etc. Directly. Direct knowledge about Krishna was what Vidura wanted to ask Maitreya Muni, and that was what Uddhava had instructed Vidura to ask. But why? Prabhupada writes. And thus when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of life under the influence of the illusory energy. In illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruitive activities. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction and does not find any solutions to the problems of life. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world, but the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fires to one's scheme. The fruitive worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. So in order to set the record straight, beginning, right at the beginning, so that the common man, he can understand when he gets that jewel of Krishna, what is the wealth that he has achieved. So that he can understand that Vidura is first asking this kind of a question to Maitreya Muni. So again, we see that time and again, Prahlad Maharaj, in his instructions to his classmates, he says that in this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress. And therefore, he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy. Now, this is a very interesting idea that Prahlad Maharaj brings in. One is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. And as soon as he begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begins. So this seems to be contradictory to the purpose. It defeats the purpose. Why? So all these different discussions that you are seeing, very nicely in one line, in one verse, Avanti Brahman, we'll see in 11th canto later, the song of the Avanti Brahman, he says just one line, very nicely we can understand. How, when a person endeavors to achieve happiness, his distress begins. How that happens? So, Avanti Brahman says, Arthasya sadhane siddhe, utkarshe rakshane vyaye, nashopa bhoga ayahas, trasas chinta bhramo nidam. He says very simply, in the earning, now generally materialist person, when he tries to achieve happiness, how does he go through? By achieving material wealth. So, in the earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth. All these are related to wealth. First you have to earn. Then after you have earned, you attain some amount of wealth. Then you are thinking about how to increase this wealth, whatever I have attained. And then, now it is increasing, but I need protection. And then, how you will enjoy it unless you expend it? So in the expense and loss and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience. Now all these things that the activities that we saw, in order to achieve happiness, these four emotions are experienced. Great labor. In earning wealth, great labor is needed. Then attainment. Once you attain that, there is fear. Again, to increase that wealth, you need great labor. Again, for protection, you are anxiety ridden. There is anxiety. For expense, and when you are expending it, you are in delusion. You are thinking that you are enjoying. And loss and enjoyment of wealth. So each and every activity where material sense gratification or material happiness is being sought by a person, doing each of these activities, either labor, fear, anxiety or delusion. This is one of the emotions or experiences that a person goes through. So we should understand that, as I said in the beginning, this entire material world is revolving around sense gratification, increasing sense gratification. But it is not that sense gratification is totally banned. Like, for example, we should understand that sense gratification as part of the four purusharthas given in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures also, it gives you some leeway for, but that is only as part of the karmakanda section of the scriptures. For one who is endeavoring on the pure devotional path, it is very clear. So sometimes we can see, even in scriptures, there are people who try to endeavor on the dharmic path and perform sense gratification. Dharmartha kama bhoga. Dharmartha kama moksha. And then they try to achieve. So we see Yayati. King Yayati, just a couple of days ago, Baldev Prabhu very nicely explained about Yayati Maharaj. And Yayati was so pious and so dharmic that when Parikshit Maharaj was born, when his qualities were being described, he was described as, he will be dharmic like Yayati. So Yayati's name was given as a benchmark of how a person can be dharmic. But when I don't want to repeat the entire story of Yayati, but just a couple of days ago, those who were here, Baldev Prabhu very nicely described how even Yayati, he had this desire to enjoy sense gratification. But still, that person was such a dharmic person that within the codes given in the books of Dharma, staying within that, he enjoyed sense gratification. So that is why his name is given as an example for how a person can be dharmic. But even Yayati, at the end of all of that sense gratification, everything, there are a few verses in the Bhagavatam where he describes what is his conclusion or his realization after enjoying all that sense gratification. They are very revealing. He says, a person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind, even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley and other food grains, gold, animals and women. Nothing can satisfy him. As supplying butter to fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. For those who are too attached to material sense enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires which are the cause of all tribulations. So now, this is on one side we see Yayati, who was dharmic, and according to the codes given in the Dharma Shastras, being within those codes, he tried to enjoy sense gratification. But this is his conclusion. These are his conclusions. On the other hand, we have somebody like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was a personality who was totally adharmic. He wanted to change the entire balance in the universe. Whatever was considered to be dharmic, he said, all that is now adharmic. Worshipping Lord Vishnu, giving charity to Brahmanas, performance of yajna by Brahmanas, all this is adharmic, all illegal. Nobody should do all these things. So he was, you know, he tried to change the entire balance 180 degrees. And that was his method. But still, we see in this Bhagavatam, it's given that in spite of achieving the power to control all the directions, in spite of enjoying all types of sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. So whether dharmic or adharmic, as long as a person tries to enjoy his senses, it is never going to give him a satisfaction. We have example on both sides. But Bhagavatam is very clear in this matter, right at the beginning. Right at the beginning, Bhagavatam says, second verse, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Like yesterday, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was giving a very nice humorous incident where he had gone to a place where there was Gita part or something, and the people were reciting Bhagavad Gita, and when they came to the 18th chapter, the Charam Shloka of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, they said, they read it as Sarva Adharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Saranam Raja. So he said, but it is written Sarva Dharman, how you are reading Sarva Adharman? So the organizers, they said that actually Krishna said Adharman only. But when all the Vedic scriptures were put in writing, at that time somebody made mistake and they wrote instead of Adharman, Dharman. But here, again in Bhagavatam, if you corroborate with Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam says Dharma Projita Kaitava. So it is not adharman, but it is dharman, sarva dharman pratyaj. All, even those kind of dharmic, so-called dharmic codes, which I won't say encourage, but which enable one to enjoy sense gratification, all that is also rejected in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam talks very clearly about all these. So therefore, then what is the wealth? What is wealth? I was reading one Subhashit. It's a very interesting Subhashit. And it says that there are different kinds of wealth in this world. And one of the wealth that is given is, it is given in the form of a riddle. That wealth is cannot be like nowadays we are seeing Chauragra Ganya Ashtakam. But this is a wealth which cannot be stolen by any thief. And this cannot be taxed away. Nobody can tax this wealth. Nor the king, nor the government. And you don't need to divide this among your kinsmen, family members. And most importantly, even if you earn a lot of this wealth,
still this wealth will not be a burden on your shoulder. You will happily carry this wealth. Very light. And very, very importantly, as much as you spend this wealth, that much it increases. Na chaura haryam, na cha bharakari. Sorry, na chaura haryam, na cha raja haryam. Na bharakari, na cha bhartra bhajyam. Vyaye krite vardhata eva nityam. And what is this wealth? This wealth is vidyadhanam sarvadhanat pradhanam. Vidya means knowledge. Knowledge. What is knowledge? So Krishna gives very nice understanding of what is knowledge in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What are the items of knowledge? So he says, Krishna says, amanittam, adambhittam, there are 20 items of knowledge. And I was, when I first read this, I remember first time I read that verse, amanittam, adambhittam, I said, where is the knowledge? I mean, what is the knowledge here? Because it says humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, home, wife and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. Now comes the real, as they say in American English, the kicker. All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. I was really struck by this statement by Krishna. All these 20 items is knowledge. Anything outside of this is not knowledge. You require real guts to say a statement like this. Because I was wondering when I first read this line, I mean, what about law, engineering, English literature, what about all that? There are so many people all over the university, in the universities all over the world, they are working so hard to get degrees in all these different fields of so-called knowledge. What about all that? And then I wondered, okay, maybe, you know, Krishna is speaking this 5,000 years ago. So maybe there is no law school, school of law, or school of business management, or engineering college. Maybe, you know, no engineering universities. So maybe not, no subject like that. But still you have in the Vedas, we have Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, you have Vastu Shastra, Shilpa Shastra. So many, all these subjects are there. Maybe names are different in Sanskrit, but all these different engineering sciences, medical sciences, logic, law, you know, everything is covered. Everything is covered. But Krishna didn't mention those subject matters as the main wealth or knowledge. He didn't mention that as knowledge. What he mentioned as knowledge is the qualities that need to be acquired by going through the process of knowledge. Even by achieving knowledge, if somebody is only interested in, not interested in any of these items, even the very first item, humility, is such a, I mean, it is such a, just that first step is a big stumbling block. Because mundane knowledge by itself tends to increase the pride of a person. When a person is PhD, double PhD, then it is normal that, you know. But actually, the more we come to know about some subject matter, ideally it should create humility within us. Because when we know, I was just discussing this with in the ashram just a couple of days ago, the more we read about something, the more we study about something, the more we know about something, that subject actually itself teaches us that how much I actually don't know in this subject, how much I don't know in this area, in this field. I am still ignorant about so many things, the more we go deeper into any subject matter. So naturally, when there is knowledge, it should create humility. But in the case of mundane knowledge, these worldly affairs, there is a tendency that it creates pride. So therefore, just achieving this one aspect of knowledge, that humility, is such a big thing. And all 20 items of knowledge, if somebody is able to achieve, then that can be such a big thing. So therefore, not that we should not endeavor, not that we should not endeavor to achieve, but rather than achieving something which is temporary, in all these cases where we saw that the concept of sense gratification is put down, or it is, you know, people, they just say that this is useless. It is useless because it is sheer waste of time. It is a sheer waste of time and energy which can be engaged in more fruitful ways to achieve something which is more permanent. And the basic reason of this endeavor is that the basic premise on which we are basing our life on, that I am this body. And therefore, whatever gives enjoyment to this body is actually giving me enjoyment. That basic premise needs to be changed. And in order to change that, we need to gain knowledge. Knowledge about our own self. Who am I? What am I doing here? Why am I in this world? The basic questions. If you see Srila Prabhupada, when he gave his classes, this is the basic, I am not this body is a statement which has been repeated umpteen number of times by Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, this knowledge is a very precious wealth. And I was hearing one class by His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu. He said that if you want to really know how rich you are, then count all the things that money cannot buy. Count all the things that money cannot buy. And see how many things we have. And if we see these objects, these items of knowledge that Krishna talks about, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, none of these items we can buy with money. Not a single one of them. How many of us can, you know, buy pridelessness or humility? It's not possible. Either you have it or you don't have it. So therefore, if somebody wants to really judge how wealthy they are, then we have to see how wealthy they are, we have to see how much knowledge they have acquired. Because this knowledge is the wealth which cannot be taken away by anyone. And the more we share it, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have this facility through this institution of ISKCON to share this knowledge, and the more we share it, the more it increases. So let us take this opportunity of perfecting our human life by first studying whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us in the form of his books, and then sharing it as much as possible with the conditioned living entities in this material world. Of course, charity begins at home, so first we have to read it thoroughly, understand it and assimilate it. And then we start sharing it. So it is going to increase So by this kind of activity, we will not only benefit ourselves, but we will benefit the entire human society. So I will stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments or any questions, you can ask. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.